What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable are students from Florida High. I welcome Jasmine Espinosa.
Hi. Oh, hi. It's great to be here.
Glad to have you. Jasmine is a junior, and she's in SGA. Okay, we also have Kalicia Sierra. She is also a junior and enjoys outdoors.
Happy to be here.
Fraley Kraus. Fraley, junior. She's into science.
Hi, happy to be here.
Chasen Scruggs. She's a senior. SGA and TV productions are her interests.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And Brooke Callender. Brooke is a junior. Her interests are work and outdoor activities.
Hi. Happy to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Have our attitudes and laws finally caught up with the reality of the battlefield? The role of women in the military has continued to evolve from the time they served primarily as nurses. Today's women make up 15% of the 1.4 million active duty U.S. military. What is your position on women serving in combat positions in the military? And I'll just start here and go right around the table. Pray.
Okay, well, I mean, I personally don't want to be in the military because that's just not something I'm interested in. I mean, like, I applaud everybody who's in the military. That's super brave and everything. And especially women, because, like, with all, like, the big feminism movement, I think it's really important and it's, like, a really big step in the right direction that more women are joining the military and enlisting and stuff. And so I think it's, like, a really important thing that it's the number of women in the military has grown to 15%. Mm-hmm. And, like, my aunt was in the military, and so okay. I, like, have, like, some personal experience with women in the military. And, I mean, she voluntarily signed up, and, like, she was deployed. And so, I mean, really? I applaud the women that actually can go out and do that.
What do you think about them being on the front lines in combat?
I mean, as long as they, like,
that's it.
They, I mean, if that's what they want to do, then that's what they want to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of us are like, yeah, no way. But, I mean, right. Some of them are like, yeah, I'm up for it. So, I mean, like, if it's what they want to do, then I think then they should be able to have okay. that.
Jasmine, where do you sit on this?
I pretty much agree with Fraley. Like, it is really scary, and it's scary for anyone, guys or girls. But if that's what they want to do, then they should be able to do that. But me personally, I don't think I would be able to do anything in the military, like just help out with paperwork or anything, just because the pressure is really, you know, and you could go anywhere, anytime. So that's just scary for me.
Okay. Kalicia.
And I absolutely agree with both of them. I don't know. I just, it should be equal regardless. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it shouldn't be a surprising thing that this many women are joining it. It should just be like, oh, like, this is what they want to do. They're fighting for their country. If you want to fight for your country, regardless, even if you're on the front lines and it is scary, it's something that you choose to do. So you should have the ability
to do it. Mm-hmm. You agree with them?
Yes, ma'am. And I also agree that I also think it's, like, awesome that they can provide the same abilities that men can, because we're just as capable as men, if not the same. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what I have to add.
Yes, I completely support it, too. Gender should not be a factor in determining whether or not someone can serve in the military.
Now, all of you are basically in the same position where you agree with it. You wouldn't want to be there. Can we just explore a little bit more why or what it is you find about the military that may be distasteful for you?
I think if, like, you asked a boy about it, they'd be like, no, this is men's work. We're strong. You're not as strong as us. You're not going to be able to shoot like us or handle a gun like us. Mm-hmm. Like, I can see where it's kind of controversial, like, women being in the military, because, I mean, yes, we do get scared. And, like, yes, we do. We're very in touch with our emotions. That doesn't mean that there's a large majority of women that can put their emotions aside, and they can, like, exhibit the, like, bravery that all the men can. But I guess, like, as a, if I was a guy, I could see, like, why it'd be kind of, like, why they'd be hesitant to let women in.
Okay.
Maybe right. because they don't trust them yet. Like, they haven't seen them on the battlefield, and it's something new. And, like, I know change is scary. And so, like, I guess I can see their point mm-hmm. of view that, like, it's kind of a new thing that they're going to have to get used to.
Well, you raised some good issues, and we'll come back to them. They're really valid. Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead, Khaleesi.
So, I'm trying to, like, think about what you just said. I think that both men and women, just it depends on the person, both have emotions, and you shouldn't have to leave that emotionless part out, even though it is part of mm-hmm. the toughness of it. And it's not about... I don't think it's about, oh, they haven't seen us out there. I mm-hmm. think it's about gender. It's oh, okay. It's
you
that
think that's,
simple.
That's,
yeah,
that simple.
I think it's mm-hmm. about
that's
gender.
The issue. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's just a label, and it's 2016, and we shouldn't be attaching people to their gender label, especially in the military. Men and women can be equally capable, and there's some men that are not capable and some women that aren't capable mm-hmm. of serving in the military because their emotions get in the way or they're not strong enough. But at the same time, there's women and men that are have that capability.
Jasmine, you have that look on your face.
I was just trying to, like, listen to what they're both saying. But I think for me, personally, it would be an emotional thing. I don't think I could bring myself to, you know, hurt other people. That I understand, like, we're fighting for a reason. But I just don't, like, I don't know. Like, my emotions get the best of me sometimes. So I don't think I could, you know, be able mm-hmm. to harm others or be in the military in any way, shape, or form. But I do think that it is a gender thing. Like, it is a label, female and male. That's what is okay. preventing some people from accepting that women are now on the battlefield.
Okay. And Brooke, what do you think?
I agree. I just think that women are just as capable as men, and I think that we should have the equal opportunity. I don't think that it should be a new thing. I think that it should have always been a thing, because if we're fighting for our country, we're fighting for our country, and I'm putting my life on the line for you, mm-hmm. regardless of whether I'm a male or female.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, some countries have had women serving in combat positions. I mean, Israel, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and we can go on, Germany, Denmark. Why do you think it took the U.S., so you're reading my mind, so long to get there?
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to, like, defend this, but,
okay.
I mean, we're not the only country. Like,
we're not.
Like, I think of Mulan when I think of this. Like, she wanted to fight for her country, and she couldn't, so she literally had to dress up like a boy mm-hmm. because she couldn't enlist mm-hmm. in the military mm-hmm. as a woman, mm-hmm. even though she wanted to risk her life for her country.
Indeed.
So, I mean, that aspect I don't understand. Like, if a woman wants to put her life on the line to save everybody else, then why decline? Like, why would you say, no, we're not going to put you on the battlefield? It just doesn't make any sense to me. I guess...
Well, you all have answered, though.
Yeah.
Because one of the whys, because you said emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I don't know that that's an mm-hmm. answer, but that might be a response as to... why they feel. But anyhow, I want to hear from all of you, because it's interesting that the United States has taken this long to get there, I think. I don't know. Maybe you all don't see that. But it just seems like it's been a while. It took us a while to get there.
Well, me personally, I don't want to sound like, you know, dumb or anything, but I didn't even know that this was a thing until it started coming out on the news that women were now allowed in combat. Because I thought that women were allowed to do everything that men were allowed to do in the military and the Navy and such. But I didn't. So it was new to me when I heard of it. So I don't really know why it took so long, because people like me didn't even know that that was a thing until they approved it.
Okay. So you just thought women were...
Right.
Okay.
I'm actually with Jasmine. I was talking to Brooke in the car. I had no idea that this could even be a subject. I would think that from... I don't know. For mm-hmm. years now, women would be able to do that.
Well, you know, they've been able to be in the military.
Yeah.
But they haven't been on the front lines. And after we take a break, maybe we'll get into why, or at least the reasons that have been identified as concerning the reluctance to allow women to be in combat positions. But they, if they were in the military, they had to disguise themselves. They had to cross-dress. Often they would dress as males. And this was way back, like during the Civil War. But they would, you know, dress like a male, tie their hair all up, you know, bound their breasts down so you wouldn't know. And they really wanted to fight. They wanted to represent, you know, their position.
I think back to the thought of what you were saying of why it's taken so long for us to evolve mm-hmm. into being, like, it normal for us to fight in the military. I think that men, like, I don't want to say have a big ego, but they, like, they think that we're meant to be at the house, like, with the children, and they're supposed to be protecting us. Like, as a male, you want to protect your family, and you don't want your wife protecting your family, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like, you want
yes,
to protect your female.
Yes, it makes perfect sense.
So that is, like, what I take from it. Like, I think that men are realizing that we're just as capable of as them. So they're giving us a chance, and they're realizing once they give us a chance that, while we're not doing bad, we're actually doing good.
So you're just saying that that sexist attitude mm-hmm. that has continued throughout history up until this point really had a big influence on whether they were accepted into the military, number one, and whether they were placed on the front line, so to speak, in combat position. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And I think it's very valid. We're going to come back and look at that.
I agree with Brooke. I think it's been a cultural thing in the United States. Mm-hmm. Like, in the 1800s, like, when our country was first evolving and stuff, it was, I mean, women weren't treated like they weren't treated as citizens. We were bought for marriage. Women didn't have the choice of who they got to marry. Their parents would sell them off. We were a minority mm-hmm. group, and we're treated like as so. And we don't have the right. Why would anyone expect us to have the rights to be in the military anyways if we can't even have a job other than working in our house?
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think this means mm-hmm. now that women not only are in the military, but they can be placed in combat positions? What does it say about the nation's armed forces, so to speak?
It sparks, like, an evolution in the feminist movement, and then just equality for all genders. And females still don't have all the rights they possibly can have in our country. And I think this shows a big step.
Okay. So you would say this identifies as progress?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I agree with Chase, and I was going to say that it's just another step forward in gender equality, and maybe other organizations and other communities or mm-hmm. things will start looking at this and be like, okay, maybe we should change too.
Mm-hmm. So it'll set a precedent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, if we can now start, more women can start fighting for our country, then maybe we'll get other rights. I mean, we can die for our country, but mm-hmm. We don't have gender equality yet, mm-hmm. but this is good. I think it's great.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and this hour I have students from Florida High, and we are looking at women in the military. We're going to take a break. On this edition of 411 Teen, we're talking with students from Florida State University, Florida High. I again welcome Jasmine Espinosa, Kalisha Sierra, Fraley Krause, Chasen Scruggs, and Brooke Callender. We are looking at women in the military. You know, what we were talking about was, what does this mean, women on combat? What does this mean for the nation's armed forces, actually? That was the question that had been posed.
Okay, so what this means for the armed forces is, like, if we look at the bigger picture, now there is more people fighting for our country, so now there's a greater chance of winning if we mm-hmm. do go into war. So, like, if we have twice as many females as we have males, mm-hmm. then we have twice as big as military. Or even more
that's
than that.
That's another
probably.
Way to look. That's right.
So we could easily win wars now.
Okay.
I think that also with women, because I know, like, we have, like, our military has a really big influence in, like, the Middle East. And, like, me, if I was, like, a Middle Eastern and I saw, like, a big soldier coming at me, I might be scared, even though we're trying to help. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe if women get to be, they can, like, relate more with some of the, like, what's it called when you run away?
What's it called when you run away?
When you run away.
Refugees.
Refugees.
Oh, okay.
like, women can be more sympathetic for them and not, like, because sometimes men don't know how to, like, sympathize and they don't know mm-hmm. how to, like, be in touch with maybe some of the women who are really scared. Mm-hmm. And, like, the women can just offer help and they can, like, explain to these, like, Middle Eastern people that are in distress that, hey, we're here to help you. And so, like, don't be afraid.
You're touching on some excellent points. Yes. Anyone else?
Well, I don't know if this is, like, really... I feel like it is relevant, but at the same time, I'm not quite sure. But
say it
okay,
anyway.
So we're, allies with Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. but they have terrible women's rights, like, really bad. So I don't know if this is going to, like, really, like, kind of even out the playing field to a, maybe to a certain extent, but I just... I mean, until we, like, break ties with them, I think we're going to take a step forward, but then, like, five steps back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Afghanistan, in the past 12 years, we've had 300,000 women have served in Afghanistan and Iraq. Okay? They've worked a host of jobs. I mean, of course, they've been nurses, they've been medics, they've been intelligence officers, and military police. Some have been attached, quote unquote, to ground combat units from the front lines. But the point is, they've come under fire, they've returned fire, they've been wounded, and they've been killed. So it sounds like they've been in combat anyway.
Right.
So what's the big deal? I mean, what is that? Am I looking at it in the wrong way? Because if they have all that, they've been killed, they're under fire, they're doing it anyway.
What to me it sounds like is like they let women fight before, but going mm-hmm. around rules that shouldn't be broken, and now they're mm-hmm. kind of just like mm-hmm. it is okay, so now they can come out and say it. Yeah, mm-hmm. women are fighting mm-hmm. instead of before it just being kind of like unknown.
As we look at women and their position in the military, what would you identify? And I think you all have already identified some, but let's really closely examine them. What would you identify as issues being in the military? I think one of them that we all kind of hit on was the emotional or psychological makeup of women versus men. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's one of them. What else would you identify as an issue surrounding women in combat positions in the military?
There could be sexual assault or sexual harassment, an increase in it.
Okay. All right. That indeed is one. Yeah. Kalisha.
Along with, like, sexism, like, just within the military, like, mm-hmm. you got in, mm-hmm. you can fight on the front lines, but are they going to take you seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Are you gonna mm-hmm. still get the same rights and the same, like, abilities and things as the other soldiers?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any other?
I think, like...
Oh, go right ahead. Whoever.
I think, like, women's... Like, I know it sounds kind of weird, but, like, our hygiene... Like, men, like, don't really care about that stuff, but, like, we, like, want to shower, and then, like, we have certain things that, you know, happen every month mm-hmm. that men don't have to do, and, like, we have to do stuff for that, and we have to, like, take care of that, and we can't just go, like, 4 days without showering or, like, going to the bathroom in the bushes. We can't go to the bathroom in the bushes. Like, we have, like, certain, like, hygienal needs that we have to do that men don't, and I mean, like... I feel like they'll see that as a burden,
mm-hmm.
but, like, it's not our fault. And, like, I'm sure some women can, like, get over it.
Well, that's what I was getting. That was my next thing.
I
was just going to say you would have to get over it
mm-hmm.
if you're going to be in the military.
The only thing they really care about, like, that, as far as I know, is dental hygiene. That's, mm-hmm. like, the biggest thing. Because mm-hmm. Mr. Craig told us that. Our history teacher told us that because I didn't think, because I knew that they didn't have to shower every day.
Right.
And I'm like, or brushing your teeth. Like, and I made a comment and he was like, no, dental hygiene is like a big deal.
I mean, and if everybody around you isn't showering, it's not going to make that much
right,
difference.
Right.
I mean, really. You know, we are tuned into, we're conditioned by Fifth Avenue that you have to smell a certain way. There are a lot of cultures that don't use deodorant all the time. They don't shave their arms. They don't shave their legs. And it doesn't make any difference on the value of the woman or what they're doing. So I just say that to you to think, will that, do those things really matter?
Well, I saw something online about, like, the once-a-month thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
like I how that's a problem, and like somebody argued that that would be a problem.
And you're indeed right. One of the arguments, the counters, that the male for males who are in the armed forces have identified was PMS and the menstrual cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But women who are in the military have said, that's ridiculous.
That is absolutely ridiculous. That's not even
There's a lot of women who are on their menstrual cycle every single month and don't even experience symptoms and just...
I'm sure they can get over it.
I understand, like, the part, like... They're talking about emotions and stuff, like attitude and stuff, or actual going through?
They're talking about the physical right now, but yeah, that too.
Well, I understand where they're coming from. If you're out in the wilderness and you're out, like, sleeping outside and stuff, mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of get it. Like, I don't know if I want to be out there.
Yeah, but
that.
There's... Yeah, go ahead.
I think that if you're a woman and you sign up for... And you sign up for them and you go...
You know what you're
and
going.
You sign, you're you, signed yeah. up for this. So
right.
you're,
you know.
You signed up for, like, not being able to eat your cravings that you crave every month, not being able to pee in a porcelain toilet, not being able to shower. Mm-hmm. And you ultimately sign up for, I guess you would say... being treated differently, because men are always going to look at women differently. They're always going to look at us mm-hmm. as something less than them. We're mm-hmm. always going to like be like, I don't want to say the victim, but the victim.
Well, aren't we talking about like gender equality? And she just said right. signing up for to be treated lesser than men.
Well, we're always going to be treated less because we're not. They're going to always want to like protect over us. They're like, oh, watch
and those
over
are good,
her.
Those are good points. I'm telling you, because one of the issues they had with women in the military was that men would have a difficult time dealing with them when they saw them wounded, okay? Mm-hmm. And seeing a woman wounded had an impact on the male soldiers, and it because they want to protect. And I think somebody mentioned how they want to protect and they want to take care of. But seeing a woman wounded impacted how they fought and how they could handle that war or, you know, combat that they were in.
Well, I mean, the men now, like, go over there and will bomb, like, a whole city. And they can see non-U.S. women get hurt. So I feel like if they can do that... And they can, like, they just, I don't know, they're going to have to get in the mindset they're, like, that they're all soldiers, women or male. Everybody's mm-hmm. a soldier, mm-hmm. and everybody's there to do the same thing, which is, like, defend your country and fight for your country. And so I don't think they should let that bother them, because just because they're a woman doesn't mean they're going to, like, they experience the pain any different than the male.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's just the reason.
But it's that cultural thing. Like, mm-hmm. of seeing
yes.
the woman, you
they
know.
Just need yeah. to get
in
right.
distress.
Yeah.
They get over.
But, I mean, you can, like, emotionally get over that okay. eventually. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure at first it'll be a problem, but, like, they can adapt to it and, like, eventually. Because I'm sure the women, like, don't want the men to sympathize
oh,
for
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
These men need to drop these cultural, like, ideas that society has portrayed to us, because it's just a made-up idea. All we have is different reproductive systems. That's all it is, the difference mm-hmm. between males and females. And I think it's so stupid that they have this whole idea that women are just so weak and we need to be taken care of and chivalry and all these fake ideas. And no, like, if you're signing up to be in the military and you're a woman, you know what you're going for. You know that you're going to have to deal with PMSing and your cramps and all those things. Like,
mm-hmm.
they know
Indeed.
What they're doing, and they're strong women. Women and they can handle themselves, and men don't need to sit there and focus on protecting them.
What about, how would you address, what would you say about the physical differences? And when I'm talking about physical differences now, I'm talking about as far as physical performance. For example, women, females, have two-thirds the physical performance that men have, okay, as far as strength. Is this going to require that we adapt the physical requirements to women? Should we change those requirements, or should they be the same across the board? Because in combat, for example, you might have to carry your fellow soldier who has been injured, and maybe he weighs 250 pounds, and you weigh what, 120 pounds, okay? Mm-hmm. What about that? That was one of the complaints that men have, you know, so that they would be more in danger if they had a fellow female next to them.
Well, everyone that goes into training, male or female, has to. They're gaining some strength, so I don't think that they should change it anyway. Because no male that's going, as far as I'm concerned, no male that or anybody that's going into the military has been through that kind of training before, okay. Unless they've been to, I don't know, some boot camp or something before. But my a family friend of mine is in the military and he's still going through training. And from what the stories that I've heard, it's terrible. And you have to get used to some really crazy things. So I just don't think that anybody is used to that already going in. So I don't think they should change it because men are learning just as much as women are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comments? You look like you want to say something.
I think that men and women, regardless, like, have to adapt to the boot camp, like Jasmine was saying. Like, it's a foreign thing. Like most of us come from going in, like, in high school, just having, like, 6 or 7 classes a day, leaving at school, mm-hmm. and then going to, like, football practice. Football practice or soccer practice or cheerleading practice is nothing like mm-hmm. boot camp training to go fight for our country. So regardless of whether or not you're a male or female, it's going to be different for you.
Well,
and you're going to have to push
yourself. Did you have something you want? Go right ahead. Well, like, don't wait for me to say it.
I was going
to
say, like, I guess I can see the argument just because it's, like, scientific. It's not, like, the cultural thing mm-hmm. anymore. Like, mm-hmm. it's actually been, like you said, the two-thirds thing. That's, like, an actual data.
Right.
And I guess I can see where they'd be, like, concerned about that. But I feel like women can still perform as well as them. Like, aside from the strength thing, like, I feel like when you're on the actual battlefield, you can adapt and, like, perform just as well as them. Like, you don't have to be strong to be able to be capable of being in the military. I mean, there might be some things that they can't do that men can do, but, I mean, just make the men do those things. Like, if someone dies...
But then that
dies,
would be a whole nother argument.
Yeah. But it's, people, like, not their fault.
Right. But I'm saying, like, some people would be offended, like...
And I think that, like, once that, if your partner goes down in your quadrant or whatever, you're going to have this so much adrenaline pumping that you just want to save their life and mm-hmm. save yours that you're just not even going to realize that they're 250 pounds and you're 100. Like, you're not, you're going to put those people over your back and you're going to haul butt to your camp and you're going to save his life.
Right.
And women can get that strength. Like, they can work out and eventually, good. Like, get to that level because there's weak men, too, who can't do that. Mm-hmm. And men that weigh 120 pounds. I mean...
Right. There's some men that weigh less than me.
And they're already carrying so many pounds of weight.
Of equipment.
Of excess water and mm-hmm. guns and mm-hmm. ammunition and everything else. The same amount that men is carrying, so...
Well, are we needlessly putting men and women in harm's way when we have women in combat positions, given that they have these limitations?
No.
Now, and the reason I say that is because that's one of the arguments that had been made, that, well, you're just needlessly creating, you know, problems. You're putting them in harm's way because you know that they have these deficits. And if you're going to do it regardless, this is what some of the men are saying, you're going to do it regardless, then you're putting women and you're putting men in harm's way.
I think the only problem is caused by what's in people's head and what they've culturally learned about the differences between women and men.
Okay.
So I think that's the only thing getting in the way is people being stuck in, like, their head about it.
What about other physical differences that have been identified? For example, the skeletal system. The skeletal system is less dense. Thus, women are prone to more breakage, more fractures.
I knew that, actually. Okay. I was going to bring that up.
Okay.
I tried to do research before we had this discussion.
Oh, okay.
And I found that
all
out.
Right. So, well, let's talk about what about that? How do we... Is that an issue, number one? And if so, how do we address it?
Well, I mean, if you're paying for medical stuff, then yes, it is an issue because women are going to need more medical attention than... I mean, this is fact. I'm not trying to say, oh, my God, women shouldn't be in the military. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, I'm stating facts, that that is going to be an issue if women need more medical attention than mm-hmm. men do. So, I mean, it will raise
okay.
But that's just
expenses.
Saying... That's like saying if... Like, that doesn't mean that there's going to be, like, 500 women every hour that break their arm. Like maybe maybe there's not a lot of situations that they'll be in where you can break a bone. Like that's just like a kind of like a far off hypothetical. That's not like I wonder what the statistic is on like how many bones are broken in the military. Like maybe it's not even that.
What I read is that people get injured more during training than actual combat.
Indeed.
Because your body's not used to all that stuff yet.
And I'm sure that most injuries are from besides like gunshot wounds or like flying debris or anything like that. I'm sure that most are just from like a trip and fall, just like from your own clumsiness. Mm-hmm. So if I think if like regardless, men and women, just be more careful of where they're walking and like watch that like stump. They won't. And like everything that's like vulnerable, like your ankles, you're in like really tight laced up boots. Like your ankle's gonna roll, but it's not gonna. I don't think like it. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be able to like.
Well, I'm just again. What about the fact that women are shorter and they're smaller?
That's a good.
And they have less, you know, aerobic capacity, and because of these conditions, these conditions are very essential for endurance.
I think that it all just goes back to the whole the looking at people. There are men who I'm sure are in the military who are smaller than the average man, who weigh less. It all goes back to the whole cultural gendered thing. It's I don't know. I'm frustrated. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Chase.
Did you have
Well, aren't there certain standards for certain I don't want to say men because now it's changed, but don't you have to be a certain height and weight to join the military? You can't be malnourished or not weighing like what
but
you should.
But even when you meet those standards, they're saying that physically, you know, women are smaller, women are shorter, their capacity for a role.
But this is, I think, goes back to what I said about how they should all be training the same. Mm-hmm. If you're all training the same, you're all going to end up building the same strength and stuff.
We're going to take a brief break. You're tuned in to 411 Team. Serving in combat position remains crucial to career advancement in the military. Women have said that by not recognizing their actual service, they have been unfairly held back. As we continue to look at the role of women in the military and on the front line in combat, what about the factor of the need, or maybe there's not a need, for mixed gender accommodations? Bathrooms. Sleepy. That's what I mean.
Okay, I'm like, can you further?
I can tell from the look on your face.
What? But there's women that were helping already, so what do they do then? Do they have separate, like, cabins and stuff?
Well then,
keep it that way.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
Every single man knows female anatomy. Uh-huh. Every single woman knows male anatomy. Uh-huh. We don't need to like cross bridges. Like we just need to say like we don't need to make.
I don't create know, like, problems.
But if make I this think come that across. If they were sharing cabins or sharing bunkers and rooms and stuff, it could lead
I
to
don't
that
believe.
Sexual assault thing that Chasen
yeah, well, that
up,
was the next thing on my
that
list
that Chasen brought up earlier. Mm-hmm. So it's more prone to.
I don't believe they share barracks. I mean, as far as sleeping accommodations. So that's not what's happening.
I don't think bathrooms happen. Eventually, if after so many women join the military is going to have to make accommodations and just have like a whole sleeping cabin for women and have a whole sleeping cabin for men. Because there's like times where you don't want to be around a male. Like you just need your own time and you could just like be alone.
Do you feel that this is a setup for sexual abuse?
No.
Well,
you know, you're talking about women, and most likely they're going to be in the minority. And, for example, let's say on a submarine, and you're out and you're gone for 4 months.
I feel like if you're a man in the military, then you should have, like, the dignity that and, like, the common sense to know that, like,
you shouldn't do that. That's the operative
word. But I feel like the military, like, they've been taught so many values and, like, and stuff.
Some people
should know better not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I totally see that it's, like, an issue. Like, I can totally see, like, why that would be a problem for women being in the military. I just feel like it comes down to, like, the trust. Like, you have to trust the men, that the men aren't going to do that. And, like, you just have to teach them the values, for, like, against women abuse or, like, women sexual abuse.
Okay. All right. I'll go around the table and hear from you.
Well, I don't know. I think I watch too much TV because, like, some shows show, like Law and Order or stuff like that. They have episodes of where there's, like, this is an issue. So I don't know. Maybe if that's, like changing my idea on this. But I do think that some people are more needy of things like that than others. So I don't know. It just depends on the person, I guess. But people, like Fraley said, should know that that's not okay. But majority of the time, I feel like they probably don't really care.
I completely agree with Jasmine, but I do watch too much TV. And I've seen, like, you see these things, and usually women don't even get their cases heard because of the fact that you're completely surrounded by men who will cover for the men who the higher ups will cover for them.
And there's, like, if they go to court, they have military court, which so, you know, like, so, if Fraley's, like, my commander and then I'm, like, you know, below her, she's going to be like, no, that's not even true. Like, she's going to right. Yeah. She's going to try to see scandal, you know, the good wife is everywhere.
But I feel like when it comes to this issue, they should become more aware of it and make it so that if, let's say, this does happen to a woman and she does have a case, they can make it so that there's no military
prejudice,
and she actually gets a fair trial. Because in most cases, I'm sure she wouldn't.
And in a lot of cases, I think that if women are sexually assaulted in the military, I don't think that they have a voice, and they don't trust maybe, like, the person who sexually assaulted her was, as Jasmine said, like, good friends with the guy above her. I think that if the military had, like, this might sound, like, far-fetched, but, like, had a hotline. I know at work, if we've seen something bad, we can call this hotline and say, my manager is such and such, doing such and such. They should, like, be able to say, like, oh, General da-da-da is assaulting me and I need someone to help me. And, like, they could do a background investigation on it just so that they don't have to get other people involved and tell the general, I guess, because that might be private.
It sounds good, but I know very little about the military, okay? But I'm just thinking, now, is that realistic? For the military?
No.
Given what we know, you know what I mean? Given what we know about the military, is that realistic? I don't know. That's the only thing. I mean, you make some good points, but
I mean, they could, like, always put women in, like, a higher up position. Like, we say I'm serious. Like, we say, oh, the males are friends with each other, but maybe, like, there's some women on, like, the board that can oversee the
the captain
crimes
or
and stuff. And so, like, it's not just male. Like, in a jury, you get an unbiased jury, so you can have, like, an unbiased board of for the.
But what we're talking about, and maybe you can direct me if I'm wrong, is a change in attitudes. A change in attitudes where we're going to have to recondition males to view women, to view diversity, to view all of this quite differently.
I think that it starts, this might seem weird, not that any of us are having children, you know, in the next, like, 5 years. I think it starts with us, and I think all these things, these discussions are steps towards changing that. As we have our own children, as we talk more and more about it and we're more open about it, then we can raise people or change people's opinions on how to view women as equals, how to respect women, how to also treat women with,
you're fine. You're fine. Because it's going to require, regardless what the laws say, it's going to require a change in attitude.
Yeah.
Okay. Ch- change in your cultural position about women, males, whatever. You got to have that change, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do? How do you change that?
Well, I'm kind of picturing, like, if this turns into a lot of women joining the military now more because this is accepted, I'm picturing them having a class and training, and, like, the person that's teaching them, like, the whatever the general is, like, saying, like, everybody needs to be treated with the same amount of respect. So I don't know. That's what I'm picturing. So I think if you're joining the military, it should start there. And then I guess if Kalisha wants to have kids, then...
Oh, I don't have anything to say.
Okay. Women in combat, this is something that we didn't really directly talk about, are at risk of being captured and then sexually assaulted. Why put them in that kind of position? And I want to hear what you say. You know, you have that option.
Well, like Brooke said earlier, they kind of know what they're signing up for and know the chances they're taking. I'm not saying that they should expect that to happen. I'm just, like, you know what you're getting into.
I mean, yes, it's a possible outcome. Like, you can use women to have, like, that emotional effect mm-hmm. on, like, the U.S. people. And, like, you can abuse women like you can't abuse men in ways that you can't abuse men. And, yes, it's a problem, but, I mean... You can't really avoid it. You just have to get over it, I guess.
And interesting, I'm going to get to you, Brooke, but I want to throw this in. Interesting in reading on this, one of the women who had been in combat had been captured and was sexually abused. And she said, in the hierarchy of things that could happen, being sexually assaulted was not that bad. Now, that blew my mind, but that was her response to it.
I mean, think about...
What else that, they've been through.
I know. Think about everything
like
else.
Like, for ordinary people, yeah, it's a big deal. That's probably mm-hmm. one of the worst things that could happen to us. But she's probably seen a lot.
Torture.
Been through a lot.
She could have died. She's still alive to tell her story.
Right.
I think that it goes back to men have been sexually assaulted in the military, too, by other men with a higher ranking than they are. I just think it depends on the person and, like, the predator.
Is that okay.
The like... The predator, I don't know, like, the person that's getting, mm-hmm. that's doing
yes,
the...
predator.
Okay, predator. So the predator is, like, getting the victim. A woman could be a predator, too. It's not just because, like, I'm just as capable of raping someone as a man is. I mean, I'm not going to, but I am.
Okay.
They're just trying to, like...
Find
I
reasons.
Feel like this stuff has been happening, and now they're trying to, like, apply it to women and make it, like, seem like it's just, like, this is stuff that will only happen if women are in the military, when in reality, I feel like some of it's already happening. Like, there's probably, I mean, I'm sure there's abuse that happens with men in the military every single day, like Brooke said. And, like, they torture the men that they capture. But that, I feel like that's equivalent to, like, a sexual abuse of women. So, like, it's relative, and I feel like it's already been happening, but then they're just trying to circulate these ideas.
And find a reason.
Yeah, and find, like, how to apply it to women and make it
exactly
seem
bad. Exactly like the PMS thing. PMS is not a reason for a woman to not be in the military.
Mm-hmm. They're just...
Men have cravings, too. I mean...
Mm-hmm. I'm PMS 24/7.
Well, you know, I mean... That may be, you know, but those are the kinds of arguments that are presented. As far as talking about women, they say with women becoming, getting on the front line, there will be 200,000 jobs that are now open to women, okay, including the elite special operations commando units in the Navy SEALs. And you know, some women are going through these trainings, and they are excelling. What does that say? I mean, that's my response to that. What does it say?
I think they have more want than men have because men have had this ability for a long time and this choice to do what they wanted for a mm-hmm. long time. And now women are able to do what men were able to do, so they kind of want it more, I think, and they want to prove themselves more than men do.
Okay. And, I mean, we've been capable of this, like, this whole time. Women are pretty intelligent. And, like, I feel like they've been, like, we've been...
Pushed to the side.
Yeah, and, like, pushed aside and, like, deprived of these jobs for such a long time, like Jasmine was saying, that now they have, like, the drive to do good, and they want to prove to all the men, like, yeah, I'm here, I'm in the military, like, I'm just as, yeah, I'm just as good as you, and, like, now I can be higher than you, and, like, they want to prove that to everybody, like, and they want to set the precedent that women are just as capable as what men can do and within the military.
Okay, I agree with you. I was just getting ready to pose another question. Do you think that having women, in not just in the military, but in combat positions, reduces the morale of the fellow male soldiers, military forces? Because that's one of the complaints. That's another complaint as we're talking. I thought about that. That's another complaint that men have raised, that, you know, well, what does it say? Why do we need women? It's a little sexist. You know, why do we need women? You know, they're now in, so that means that we are not able to do the job that we were supposed to do. We need these women in.
I mean, I guess I understand what they're coming from, but my concern is that now that this has been okay, like, women are accepted to be on the front line, I think that it'll kind of die down to a certain extent, and the women will move on to something else. You know what I mean? Like, something else that women can't do. So,
I think
it'll even out eventually. Give it a few years, and then it'll be, you know, leveled back to.
I think it kind of scares men, the fact that we're now being allowed to go into, like, the military and being, like, these special rankings and stuff. It scares them because it's something that they've had to themselves, and that men have always been better at us because we haven't had the opportunity. So now women are going to have the opportunity, and we're going to be just as good, if not better. It just depends on the person.
I'm digressing a little bit, but how would you all feel? Now, I know this is much down the road. If your none of you want to serve in the military.
I wouldn't mind.
What if your daughter wanted to serve in the military?
I mean, if that's what she wants to do, then she can totally go for it.
She can serve in the military.
My dad's talked to me about, like, doing, because my aunt was in the military. Mm-hmm. Like, my dad's talking to me, because I want to be a doctor. And my dad's talked to me about, like, hey, how would you feel about going into the military as a doctor? Like, I think that'd be really cool to, like, just, I don't want to be on the front line, so I guess I can't really relate to this. But
You might kind of be on the front line.
Yeah,
if you're not, like, that, you know,
like,
a medic.
I don't want to be in, like, my life in danger, but I feel like it's awesome that I would get to, like, help. I still get to help my country, and I get to help the people that have, like, a direct impact on fighting for my country. So, like, it's not something I'm totally adamant against. Therefore, I would support my children if they wanted, or my daughters if they wanted to do that. It's their decision, and who am I to say no to something that they want to do with their lives?
Okay.
And usually if you go into the military, it's something that's, like, not just thought up overnight. It's something that's long thought of. So when you go into the military, you go in because it's, like, your passion. It's your passion to serve your country. It's your, like, regardless of your male or female. So who am I to say, to crush my daughter's dreams and say, no, you can't be in the military because you're not as capable, or I don't want you to because I want you to myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I just wouldn't be that type of mother.
What advantages, in these last couple of minutes, what advantages do you see to women serving in the military? Okay. And you identified some of them early on.
Like, I think it was a thing with, like, women relating to women. Like, whenever we're offering our help, men can often be intimidating and scary. And, like, women can relate to these other women in the other countries and, like, they might be better at negotiating things and, like, bringing about peace. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a really big advantage.
Okay. Can you think of anything else?
I feel like we're slowly, like, all stepping over to the same side of the line. Like, this is progressing rights and equality. So.
And what about the cultural aspect of it? You have to think, in some cultures, men can't talk to women who are not directly connected with them. And so you have women who are able to talk with other women, or women who are able to connect better with children. I mean, you know, think about some of the, you know, the Muslim cultures. okay, mm-hmm. where men really can't talk and they're not encouraged to talk, but another female may be able to talk to them, may be able to find out the information.
Mm-hmm. I think that kind of goes with like what I was saying too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know that was like an actual thing. I was just saying that out of what I thought, and so it's definitely more of an advantage now that you say that that's actually not allowed in the country. Like, so I definitely agree that women being able to like console with the other women mm-hmm. is a really big advantage that we haven't had before.
Any other advantages?
No, I think that's the biggest one.
And just like a stronger military as a whole, we're going to have more people to fight for our country.
Okay. All right. Well, ladies, it has been real. I enjoy it. Thank you so much. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.